If we as a church are going to accomplish what God has in store for us this year, there's going to have to be some desperate prayers. We're going to have to make our relationship, we're going to have to turn up the heat, so to speak, on our relationship with the Lord. You may want to step out of the boat this year, and you may have wanted to step out of the boat last year, but you never actually went to the lake. Let me let that sink in a minute. Some people are kind of, it's kind of like going to, you know, waiting for your ship to come in and you're staying at the airport. I mean, you know, it's different. You have to kind of do some things. You got to send some ships out to get some ships back. There are some times in your life when you might say what you want, but you haven't put feet to it. You haven't put steps, actions into where you want to go and what you want to do and what you want to see God accomplish. So before we jump into this lesson today and this sermon, I want to ask you a question. How hungry are you? How desperate are you to see God do something different in your life this year? While you think about that, let's pray. Father, I want you to know that we are here today because we desire to be in your presence. We desire to know you. We desire to be like you. We desire to spend time in your presence and be changed from the inside out. And Lord, we're confident you have great things in store for us, but we're not satisfied with our own ability to step out of the boat. We need you to come alongside of us. We need you to encourage us. We need things from you, and we know you're looking for a commitment from us. And so today, as we look at what the Scripture has to say about a few passages, I pray that you would encourage us. I pray that you would motivate us. I pray that you would inspire us. I pray that you would help us set a course for this year, a strategy for these first few days that would in turn change the direction of our entire year. We bless you for it, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, last Wednesday night, I shared a little bit about this. So if you were here with us on Wednesday night, I apologize for repeating myself a little bit. But for the sake of everybody that's here today, I want to bring everybody up to speed. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus himself spoke to the disciples and all those other people that were there on the hillside. And the Sermon on the Mount was probably not just one sermon. It would have been a long one if it had been. But they believe it was written over multiple teachings and so forth. And when you come to the 6th chapter of Matthew, it's part of that. And at the beginning of that, Jesus says there are three things that Christians should do, believers should do. They weren't called Christians then. That term came about later. You've heard us use the word Christ followers or believers or Christians. The word Christian has gotten such an unusual, it's gotten bad rap over the years because people believe they're Christian just because they do Christian things. But that doesn't necessarily mean they have the relationship with the Lord. So over the years, you've heard some ministers start using other phrases like Christ follower or so on and so forth. But there are some things that Jesus said that everybody should do. Now, these were already normal things for the Jewish community. The Jewish community were already people who prayed. They were already people who gave to the poor. And they were already people who fasted. But there were some obvious problems with the way they did that because Jesus brought it all up in the 6th chapter of Matthew. And he said, when you give to the poor, do it like this. Then he explained, when you give to the poor, don't make a big show of it. Make it private and take care of people in a private. Don't bring praise to yourself by your good deeds because God will not reward you openly if you do that. God knows what you're doing in secret. The term there that you hear most often is don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. That was the phrase. That was kind of a King James phrase. And then he said, when he got to how to pray, he said, when you pray, do it like this. And he gave what is referred to as the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer. It's a model for us to use when we pray. And then he came to this third thing called fasting. And he said, when you fast. Now, and he said how to do that. And we're going to look at that. But Here's what I know about churches. Churches often talk about giving, and they're good at giving. We give to the poor. We give to missions organizations around the world. We give to benevolence organizations and charity organizations here locally and so forth, and that's a part of who we are. That's kind of our DNA. That's a core value. Then we talk about prayer. Churches are big on prayer. We believe that prayer changes things. Aren't you grateful for that? Aren't you thankful that when we pray, God moves, and things happen on earth as a result of the prayers that we pray? But then churches often stop short of this third one, which is called fasting. And fasting is something that Jesus said, when you fast, do it like this. Notice Jesus didn't say, if you give, if you pray, and if you fast. He said, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. It was an expectation. It was a Christian discipline. It was something that was an expectation. And it was something they were already doing, but they didn't always do it maybe the best way. So Jesus brought some clarity. We, as the 21st century church, we tend to have some, we don't speak about this very much. I mean, there are certain, I noticed on Netflix, they have a documentary about a place in Russia that is a fasting clinic where you go and you pay them to feed you water. It seemed like a real good job to get into. If you want to know, it's a good business. It doesn't cost a lot to run that business. But that's their thing. And it's all about health. It's all about a health thing. And you can gain some health when you go to those clinics. And it's sort of like setting the reset button on your physical health. Because how many of you would agree that there's a lot of toxins in our body from the food that we ingest and the drinks that we drink and all the stuff, the sugar and everything? You know, we haven't gotten so that we're necessarily eating better. We might be eating more, but we're not necessarily eating better. So that's part of what fasting has to do with. But fasting is not just a physical thing. The whole purpose of fasting is much more than that. So Jesus said this when he talked about it. In verse 16, he addressed fasting. He said, and when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will get. But when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, and then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Now, I love old Westerns, and I love the way that they always had the wanted posters out there. And you know what a wanted poster has? It always has a reward, doesn't it? A reward for Big Bad John or whatever his name was. You know, what a reward is money that has been set aside for someone who helps capture or find the lost person or the wanted person. That's what a reward is. Jesus himself said, or in Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You see, you have a Father who rewards you for certain things, and he will reward you when you draw near to him. Scripture tells us that if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us, or if we come near to him, he will come near to us. You have a Father who has abundant supply. He has plenty of reward waiting to give you. But how do you get the reward? It's because there's some things that are on our part to do. In Acts, the 10th chapter, Cornelius was an Italian. Molto bene. He was an Italian man. He was part of the Italian regiment. He was a soldier. And it says he loved God. He prayed. He gave to the poor. There's two parts of that three-part cord, right? And I believe he fasted. Scripture implies that he was also fasting on the day that an angel came to him. And the angel came to him and said, go send some people over to this such and such place and get the man called Peter. Now, when the angel spoke to him, he gave him very specific instructions to where to go and who to speak to, and that man had a message for Cornelius and his household. It was while he was fasting that God did this for him. And sure enough, Peter comes, and they were Gentiles. God was talking to Peter at the same time about what was not to call unclean what is God's calls clean. And it was the first time that a Jew like Peter had ever stepped foot in a Gentile's household. But he goes and he speaks to them and he shares with them what is going on and the word of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit filled the room and they all received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And God did an amazing thing because this man was fulfilling his obligation. He was serious about what God wanted him to do in his life. When you get serious with God, when you start doing what God requires of you, do not be surprised when God shows up in power and in force in your life. It may not happen every day, but you have a much greater chance it'll happen some days than if you do nothing when it will happen no days. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can think and above all we can ask. So today I want to answer four questions about this topic called fasting. First off, what is fasting? Secondly, why should we fast? Third, how should we fast? And four, when should we fast? So first off, let's go to what is fasting. The simple answer, the quick answer is simply this. Fasting is refraining from food for a spiritual purpose. For a spiritual purpose. Refraining from food for any other reason might have its health benefits. We've talked about that. There are health benefits. How many of you have gone to the doctor? The doctor's called you a time or two and said, we need to do some blood work and we're going to need you to fast overnight. I have never been more hungry than when the doctor says that. That's just the worst, isn't it? And you can't eat anything. I mean, you think you're going to starve because you have to fast. And trust me, I have enough reserves on me that I could live for a long time. But we don't think that. Fasting is not a hunger strike. It's not a hunger strike. Gandhi went on hunger strikes. Remember Gandhi? He lived in India and he was trying to get the government to change things and so forth. So there's one way to get people to change. If you don't give me my way, I'm going to starve myself to death. It sort of worked because in those days, the government didn't want him to die on their watch. And so they sort of succumbed to his desires and requests. But know this, when you fast, you're not twisting God's arm by saying, God, I'm going to fast until you give me my way. That's not you twisting God's arm. That's not what it is. What fasting is not, about getting God to approve of you or to gain his favor. You see, Jesus has already done that. Instead, fasting is entering into a highly focused time of prayer, study, worship, and devotion. When we really just set aside all of those things that kind of get us sidetracked. You can easily become sidetracked. Cell phones, computers, all the things, television, whatever you have that you spend the most time with can easily sidetrack you from spending time with God. I can get up in the morning. I can get up before the sun comes up. I can go into my study, the kitchen table. I can go into I can make a cup of coffee, sit down with the Word of God, and I'll pull it up on my computer or my iPad. And you know what the Word of God has on my iPad app? Advertisements for everything that we've been looking at, you know, and they pop up all over, and I'm starting reading the Word of God, and then all of a sudden there's something right there, and I suddenly have to shut that off and kind of look over here, and there's ads on both sides of my Bible. I can't figure that out. That's just a bad thing. So it's easy to get distracted. Have you ever done that? Have you ever started to pray, and right in the middle of your prayer, you suddenly start thinking about a million other things? It's as though we can't focus for a minute. I think if America has a problem right now, it's on focus. There's a whole sermon I can do on focus, and I'll preach that one day, because we suffer from the attention disorder. We do. As a generation, as a group of people right now, we have trouble focusing. If a truck goes by right now with a loud muffler, you will suddenly lose my attention, or I will lose your attention. You will think, I wonder what that was. I wonder what's the loudest truck ever made? I could just text that right now and figure that out. Well, what do you know? There it is. And when I was a child, we didn't have a lot of the distractions that we have now. But the enemy has always brought distractions into our life. I just think it's supersized right now. I think we struggle with that more than ever. So what I find in the Word of God, when you start fasting, what you're doing is, and in the Bible, anytime they talked about fasting, it was always from the appetites. You will see there's lots of things people can fast from. You can fast from the phone. I mean, you could fast from the phone, but we're not talking about that today. We're actually talking about food. But I know people that need to fast from their cell phone. I told you this. There's a phobia out there right now called nomophobia. Nomophobia. And what it is actually you're afraid that you're not going to be around your phone. You're afraid that, what if I leave my phone at home? And we've all done it. We've left our phone somewhere. And don't you feel disconnected? What if something happens? I would have to rely on total strangers. It's just awful. We can't imagine what it would be like to actually have to ask somebody to help us because we got 911 right there. We got AAA. We got Uncle Bernie or whatever. But some of us need to fast some of those things. But today we're not actually talking about that. We're talking about food. So what Jesus does when we fast is as we start getting highly focused on where we're going, he'll come to us. If you'll draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Now, why do you fast? Well, fasting will get the attention of God in a greater way than prayer will alone. Fasting turns up the heat, as I said. It adds passion to your praise. It adds power to your prayers. James 4:8 comes, the New Living Translation, I love it, says, come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Your loyalty is divided between God and the world. If there's ever a time in the world right now when our loyalty is easily divided between God and the world, it's now. We can easily get distracted, as I said, and we can make our allegiance to somewhere other than God. But fasting is not just a physical benefit. It's a spiritual one. And it's even more powerful when you add prayer to it. When you add prayer to it. Fasting brings about healing, clarity, direction, provision, and many more benefits. Fasting, someone said, is the key to the door you're looking for. Mark 9:29 says, this kind comes forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. You remember the story, perhaps, of Jesus showing up in a particular area, and a man brought his son to Jesus, and he said, sir, would you heal my son? He throws himself into the fire. He sometimes throws himself into the water. A demon takes over him, and I don't know what's going on. I brought him to the disciples, but your disciples can't do anything for him. Jesus healed the little boy, and when the disciples said, how come we couldn't do anything? Jesus said, this kind comes out only by prayer and by fasting. Jesus himself knew the power of fasting. So let me ask you today, what do you need that you haven't received right now? Do you need a healing, or does somebody know that you know need a healing? You should fast. Do you need a financial provision? Do you need a change, a reversal in your financial situation? You should fast. Do you desire to know God's will for your life? Fast about it. Is there a friend or loved one that needs salvation? We all know people that need the Lord. And sometimes fasting is the only thing that changes that and breaks that chain. Do you need to break away from bondages that have been holding you hostage? There may be a bondage in your life of something that you have struggled with for years and years, and you have just never brought it all to God and say, God, I'm so serious about this. I'm willing to go without food. I'm going to spend some time in your presence. I want you to know I'm serious about this, and I'm looking for some relief from this. Or is there a dream inside of you that only he can make possible? Or do you desire a deeper, more intimate, and powerful relationship with the Lord? Or this one, finally, this is not all of them. This is just a few of them. Are you ready to have a heightened sensitivity to the desires of God? What I find out that happens when people fast is they suddenly, it's as though their hearing just gets so much better. Their hearing, they can hear the voice of God speak to them. They can see what God wants them to see. They even speak differently. I've known myself at times when I have fasted that something comes out of my mouth that I realize was profound, and it wasn't me, it was God did this, because other times something comes out of my mouth and it's not profound. And I know the difference when profundity, that's not even a word. I know the difference between when it's profound and when it's Steve. And I know the difference when it's Holy Spirit and when it's Steve. And the change is when I am really in the focused place and I'm allowing God to work in my life. So there are lots of reasons and there are lots of things. So I ask you today again, are you hungry? Are you desperate? What is it that you need, and why would you fast? You would fast for those reasons. The Bible gives several reasons of how we should fast. the Bible says that Jesus went out for 40 days. Jesus came and was baptized by John the Baptist, and then immediately he went into the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was staying out there with all the critters, with all the coyotes, with all the snakes. He was just out there. And the scripture tells us that at the end of 40 days, this is the most understated statement ever, Jesus was hungry. Yes, he was. After 40 days, we would all be hungry. That's just how that works. Nothing unusual about that. Jesus himself was in all ways God, but he was also a man. And so he had this physical hunger. The enemy came to him while he was in this state. And we know what the enemy tried to get him to do is break his fast, but he didn't. And that's after that is when he, as soon as he got through fasting, that's when the ministry began, and his ministry exploded from that point on, and everywhere he began to teach, large crowds began to follow him. That's just one example. That was Jesus himself, 40 days and 40 nights, no food. Daniel, you remember the story of Daniel and his friends. His friends were changed. Daniel's name was changed to Belteshazzar, and he had friends whose names were changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were all prisoners of the Babylonian king. And yet when they came into the kingdom, they were going to be fed with all the other young men, the food from the king's table. The problem with the food from the king's table was it was against the Jewish beliefs, and it had also been sacrificed to idols. And so Daniel and the three Hebrew children, his three friends, they said, they talked to their handler, I guess you would say, and said, we would ask you not to feed us that food. We would like to feed on nothing but vegetables only. And you can test us for 10 days and see if we're as healthy after 10 days as the rest of them. So they agreed. And after 10 days, they were bright-eyed. They were more intelligent. They had everything going for them that these others didn't have. So the food mattered. And there's another time later on in Daniel's life when he fasted 21 days. And that fast looked more like vegetables only. Vegetables, fruits, vegetables, and water. It was that kind of fast. There's a lot of examples of different kinds of fast in the Bible. You can look up many times when the king called for a fast and everybody in the nation fasted. And a lot of times these happen when there were dire circumstances. The enemy was coming to destroy them, and I mean destroy them. They were going to kill them, their wife, their children. They were going to utterly destroy the land. And when the king calls a fast and you're in that kind of situation, everybody gets on board very quickly. It'd be like what happened yesterday in Hawaii. If they'd known they had 2 days before something was going to happen, and the governor had said, I think we need to call a fast. Do you think people would have been at the restaurants eating? No, I think they wouldn't have. I think they would have actually said, we will indeed fast. We believe this is a dire enough circumstance. And so that's what they did. Over and over again in the Old Testament specifically, you'll find examples of where somebody called a fast and the people fasted and God turned disaster the other way. Now, there was a time when God called people went into a fast, but they did it half-heartedly. They didn't really put their heart and soul in it, and God didn't hear their request. So it's all about what you do when you fast. Now here's the great thing about fasting. It's personal. Nobody comes checking on you. Nobody looks down on you. I remember when I was in college, there were some young people that I knew that fasted, and they all decided to fast, and it was that season, and it became a competition almost to see who could go the longest, and we're talking about a week, and that was about it, and I don't feel like their heart was in the right place. They caught the right idea. They just didn't catch everything else. So this is a private situation. This is a private thing between you and God. And I will tell you that everybody does fasting a little different. There's lots of information out there online about this. You can look up danielfast.com. You can go to Jensen Franklin's page and read his books that he's written. He wrote a bestseller about fasting a few years ago. And I've read that book, and it's a great book that has to do with fasting. And it'll give you some details and give you some specifics and all that. And it's an important thing for you when you start a fast to know how you should fast. There's lots of information about that. I won't bore you with the details. We'll talk about that maybe another time. So when should you fast? Well, there's no set season. Some people fast during Lent, which is the 6 weeks prior to Easter. That's a common thing in certain belief systems and certain denominations and religious affiliations. I love the idea of fasting at the beginning of the year because it simply sets your year right. You're setting some goals. Why not hear God really speak to you at the beginning of the year? How many of you know that when you hear God speak, you can make better decisions? If God would come and send an angel to you tonight and speak to you and say, okay, I've got a plan for you and here's what you need to do for the next 12 months, we would all say, sign me up. I'll leave the door open. I mean, I'll give him the code to the garage, or let's improve himself and let him walk right through the wall. Whatever. However you want to do it, we just believe that getting answers at the beginning of the year would make the year go so much better. And so I see that that's a great time. Fasting during times of trouble and need was common in the Bible, like I said before, because the season of need was always changing. It might have been in January, it might have been in February, it may have been in the summer, it may have been in the fall. You never know when the season was going to be important. Somebody was going to come, they were going to need that. You see, here's what I believe. When you give God your first through fasting, prayer, and giving at the beginning of the year, you set the course for the entire year. So here's some practical suggestions for you. Before you begin a fast, make sure that you're healthy enough. That's just common sense, right? If you have questions about it, ask your doctor. Scripture says that not one fast, when you look at the scripture, you don't see that there's one absolute way that you have to do it like this. If you're going to fast, everybody's got to go without food and water for 40 days. That's not what scripture tells us. And we have documents of times when they fasted a day. We have times when they fasted 3 days. And they have times when they fasted 10 and for 40. There's all kinds of fasting that went on. People got their hearts right with God. People relied on God. They began to focus on what God had for them. Now, the important thing about fasting, as I've said before, is if you just fast, if you just go without food, that's just starvation. That's not truly fasting. Fasting, you need to accompany fasting with prayer and worship and Bible study. I mean, why not let God speak to you? The number one way that God speaks to us is through his word. I've already said that. So if you'll read your Bible and when you get ready to do a fast, I would say look at the schedule. Look at your weekly schedule and say, these days are best for me than other days, and my schedule looks better now because there may be times when a fast just won't work with your work schedule for whatever the reason. So you find when it's going to work. When is the right time for me to fast? What days? What meals? All that stuff. And then spend some time with God and pray and kind of have a plan. Just inadvertently going out and saying, I'm just going to fast until I get hungry. That's going to be probably a short-lived fast. I'm going to fast between now and lunch. And it's about 20 minutes away. All right. So have a plan. Have a structure. Have a purpose for your fasting. You need to know why you're fasting. What are you fasting for? What are you believing God for? What's that number one thing? What are those two or three things that are very important for you? Are you having health problems? Is there somebody in your life that needs healing? I know that over the past few years, we've been praying and fasting for Katie. This is Ruth and Raymond's niece, great niece, and it's important. This little girl's got leukemia. The last time it was really severe, the family called a fast and some friends, we all began to fast. And what God did for her that moment was an incredible thing. It was a wonderful thing. She's not cured yet. She's not completely over this yet. So there may be some more times of prayer and fasting for that young child. But I believe God will hear us and he will move on our behalf. You see, Christianity is not the only religion that practices fasting. Many others do. The Muslims do. The Hindus do. Buddhists do. There's lots of religions that practice it. But I believe that you can come to the true living God when you're fasting and saying, God, what do you desire of me? I want to be close to you. I believe that you're the God of miracles. I believe that if I put my life in line with what you've requested of me, I can expect you to do the miraculous in my life. And I want you to know that food has no hold on me. I'm going to actually step in at this moment and I'm going to set aside some of my own desires because my desire to spend time with you and my desire to know you and my desire to have you operate in my life is more important than the hunger pains that I feel at this moment. Let God speak to you. Scripture's filled with people who fasted regularly, including Job, Abraham, Daniel, Jesus, Peter, Cornelius, and many more. In the late 40s, my grandmother, who had been a believer for just about 6 or 7 years at that time, was living in the west side of Dallas, and my grandfather pastored a small church. My grandmother had been fasting, and they had been out visiting some people in the community and just inviting people to church, her and another lady. That night, my grandmother came home, and she fixed dinner for her family, but she herself chose not to eat, and so she went into the back room, and she prayed and went to bed. In the middle of the night, the family was woken up by her praying in the spirit, and what happened at that moment was she had a visitation from God. And during that whole course, and I think I've shared some of these with some of you before, but God gave her a spiritual visitation, a heavenly visitation, and showed her what heaven was going to look like in a lot of ways, the New Jerusalem. It was an amazing event. It changed the course of her life and the life of many other people. It happened not because she was educated, because she didn't have a college education. It happened not because she had just prayed. I believe that she'd just gotten so serious with God. And she said, God, we want you. We need you. We desire you in our life. And God did this supernatural thing for her. In 1980, and I shared this Wednesday night, I was a young man. I was 19 years old. I was traveling with an evangelist, and we were crisscrossing the United States, and we were having revival services here and there. And we had spent a month up in Cumberland, Maryland at 4 different churches where we held revivals. And our little evangelistic association was about 2 meals away from closing down because we didn't have a lot of money. And the evangelist did what all good evangelists do in those situations. He called for a fast. We can't afford to feed you, so why don't we just fast? And so that's what we did. We began to fast, and we were headed to Cumberland, Maryland. And we were headed through Cumberland, Maryland, so we were going to spend the next week fasting. Now, I was 19 years old. I'd never experienced a lot. I knew a little bit about fasting. I knew that my dad talked about it occasionally at church. I'd witnessed some of the things. I'd heard about my grandmother. But I'd never personally fasted. So we began to fast. We fasted for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And we rolled into this church in Lincoln, Nebraska. And it was a church that we were going to minister to that night. And one of our band members was from that town. And the church had prepared a meal for all of us. The evangelist thought, well, this will break the fast for the team. He's going to continue to fast through the rest of the week. So that's what he did. We ate, and we continued to pray and believe God as we traveled on over to Cumberland. We get over to Cumberland, Maryland. It was a large church, seated about 1,200, we noticed there were a lot of cars outside. It was on a Friday night, and sure enough, they were having a prayer meeting in there. And the congregation that had been in there had been praying and fasting that week also. So we'd been praying and fasting from Cumberland. They'd been praying all the way to Cumberland. They'd been praying and fasting that week before we got there. On Sunday morning, the pastor spoke, and we sang a couple songs, and nothing happened. That Sunday night, it was our first night to begin our crusade, and we sang a couple songs, and quite frankly, I don't recall what happened except that a lot of people started coming to the altar. And then the next night, a ton of people, and the evangelist hadn't even spoken yet. It was just like God showed up in a supernatural way, and people began to come and get their hearts right with God. The next night, the altars filled up. The next night, the altars filled up. The next night, the altars filled up. They decided to let the revival proceed another week. So we went another week, and we saw God do some incredible things. And then it went another week, and it went another week, and people began to travel in from other cities and other towns and other states. And the revival lasted 9 weeks. 9 weeks the revival went. We saw hundreds of people come to know the Lord, and we had not done anything different there than we had done at all of the other places we had been at, except we had been praying and fasting. They had been praying and fasting, and we all were in expectation of something incredible happening. I can't tell you that there's a magic formula when it comes to hearing from God. There is no lever that you pull. There is not something that you just say, if you'll do it just like this, you'll get this result every time. What I can tell you is this. When you get serious with God, when you begin to let God speak to you through His Word, when you closed out the things that are outside the world vying for your attention, and when you take a moment in your daytime, and when you set aside a time and you say, God, I have some serious needs in my life. I have some serious situations that if they don't change, I'm not going to be able to make it. God will show up in your life. And fasting is an important tool that you can use to let Him be a part of your life. So let me ask you this again. How hungry are you? How hungry are you? How desperate for God are you? And how desperate are you for God to do something new, something powerful in your life? Are you willing to set aside some of your own desires and comforts to spend time with God? Could this be the year that God changes your situation? Are you satisfied right where you are, just the way you are? Think about that. Let's bow our heads. Maybe you have come into this place today and it's been sort of church as usual. We've worshiped. We've spent time hearing the word of God. We've heard God speak to us again like he has in the past. But maybe this time it's a little different because you're sensing that God is wanting you to take the next step. He's wanting you to turn up the heat, so to speak, in your relationship with him. Maybe you're not satisfied. Maybe this is the year where there's been this hunger inside of you to draw closer to him than ever before. And God's maybe calling you to do something that you've never done before, or to do something that you haven't done in a while. And maybe that's fasting. Maybe as you think about it this week, God's going to give you a strategy of what to do, how to do it, and what it will mean in your life. And you can see God take you to a place that you've never been before. I want to pray for you today. We're going to see God do some incredible things over the next few weeks. I would say this week, spend time getting yourself prepared. If you decide to fast with us this week, get an idea of what you need from God. Write it down somewhere. Determine what you're going to fast, how you're going to fast, how long you're going to fast. And let God speak to you through this whole thing, and you'll see God do amazing things in your life. Now, Father, I just lift up this congregation, and we're not satisfied. We're not willing to go through another year just like we are right now. We're prepared to step out of the boat. We're prepared to go to the next place. We're prepared, Father, to do great exploits for you, but we can't do it all by ourselves. And so, Lord, right now we simply say, take us, use us, speak to us, guide us, direct us, deliver us. Jesus, this is the year that you have placed us in. This is the time and the season that we are alive. This is why we're here on earth, is to hear your voice and to be your hands and your feet to the area, to Weatherford, to Fort Worth. And so I pray that this year we would be that. And I pray that it would start this week. I pray that our eyes would be open to see what you want from us. Let our ears be tuned toward where you want us to hear. And Lord, I pray you would direct our steps, guide us. Father, I pray for financial provision for those that are in a desperate situation right now. Father, for those that are needing a physical healing, that have been struggling with something for a long time, I pray this would be the season. This would be the time. This would be the day of the miraculous in their life. Father, for those that are bound with some kind of addiction, for those that are bound with some kind of issue in their life, a life-controlling substance, Father, I pray against that in the name of Jesus, and I pray that those bondages would be broken this season, Father, and we present ourselves to you, Lord. We know you can do it with just your spoken word, but sometimes you choose to use us, and you choose us to get on board with what you want to do. So this year, we want you to know we are serious. We are stepping out of the boat. We are moving to a new level in our relationship with you. And Lord, I thank you for it. We receive from your hand right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.